Brothers and sisters, let me draw an exhortation this morning from Psalm 51. So if you turn there, I'd like to just bring a short message to you from Psalm 51. Share this with our Filipino brothers and sisters this last week. Psalm 51. I'm going to take a look at the first four verses. But first, I want to ask you this question. What is your greatest concern? What is your focus? When somebody slaps you in the face, Yosebi hauls off and wallops you in the face, stop right there for just a moment and ask yourself, what is your greatest concern right there as somebody does that to you? Somebody offends you. Somebody hurts you. Stop and analyze for a moment. Should you be offended? What is your greatest concern about that? Husbands, if your wife insults you or blames something on you that you didn't do, you know what it's like. I mean, do you ever have disagreements in your homes? You ever anybody ever offend you? Anybody? Yes. What is your concern? See, you're offended, but why? What is your greatest concern about somebody slapping you in the face? What is the problem with that? So now let's read Psalm 51, first four verses. David coming to God after his terrible sin with Bathsheba and his murderous intent that was worked out on Uriah, her husband. Psalm 51, David cries out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." So again, the question is, why are you offended? See, we have this problem of unforgiveness. For some of us, it may be for a few minutes or a few hours, a day or two, something like that. For others, they feel it for a long period of time. So they bear this burden of sins against that people have sinned against them. So sometimes offenses stick to us like burrs stick to fuzzy socks as you walk through the fields. And you can kind of draw in these burrs. There is a sort of a sourness that develops between people and with a church or with the family or with brothers and sisters. But here, I want your focus to be right. I want your perspective right this morning. There are four problems with people who have this unforgiveness issue and a victim mentality. They forget about four things. It's important for us to, as Christians, to get this basic viewpoint, this basic construct down. What is it to be a Christian? Just telling somebody on the way down to the rest home this morning, to be a Christian, we must forgive each other. Bus drivers drive buses. If they don't drive buses, they're not bus drivers. Christians forgive. If they don't forgive, they're not really in the assembly of the forgiving and the forgiven. So, you know, forgiveness is just the warp and the woof. It's who we are. It's what bus drivers do. They drive buses. As Christians are, we forgive each other. It's the 10W-40 and the oil of relationships and the engines of relationships. It enables a smoothness of interaction with each other in the Christian family and the Christian home. If you take the 10W-40 out of the engine, what happens? Seizes. Can't move. We can't communicate. We can't engage. So the body of the Christian church functions on 10W-40. It functions on forgiveness, that constant forgiving that we share with each other. But there are four things that really constitute our mindset in this forgiving perspective, and that's these things. Number one, you are not the president of the universe. That is, you are not God. You are not judge of the earth. God is God. God is the judge. See, you can't perfectly take care of all of the injustices in the world. This is, of course, the frustrating thing about being bitter all the time, being unforgiving, because the great presupposition is that, you know, you are the judge of the earth, and so therefore you have this obligation to take care of all of the injustices in the world, including those injustices that are done against you. So there's a lot of pressure. That's a tremendous amount of pressure to think that, you know, you've got to deal with all of these injustices most perfectly as the ultimate judge of the world. But brothers and sisters, I relieve you of that responsibility this morning. You are not responsible for all the sins in the world. You are not responsible for all the injustices that are taking place in the world. You are not the judge of the world. Secondly, the sin which they have sinned against you, when they slap you in the face or they unjustly accuse you of something or other, the sin which they've sinned against you is a sin against God. And ultimately, not a sin against you or your law or whatever you've legislated. It's not a sin against you. It's against sin against God. And the sin against God is far more offensive than anything they sinned against you. Because see, brothers and sisters, the perspective needs to be a God orientation. Where is our God orientation? You're not God. God is God. You are not the essence of holiness. God is. God is the essence of holiness. God is the ultimate legislator of the universe. You are not. They have violated God's law, not your law. And the punishment for sin is death for all of us, except for the grace of God. What does Romans 6:23 say? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to consider how seriously God takes offenses against Him. I mean, you think you're serious about the offenses that people offend you with. Somebody backs over your mailbox, or somebody slaps you in the face, somebody accuses you. You get offended. You know, they did this against me. How does God react to sin? Think about God's perspective. God's a holy God. He is the thrice holy God. We're not. We have our own issues. Amen? All of us. We all have our own issues. The wages of sin is death because these are sins against God. And God is so serious about these sins against Him that He has punished it. And His punishment, ultimately, is hellfire, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. The fires of God's wrath really burn and burn and burn into eternity because God is the ultimate in holiness. He is the ultimate right to be ultimately offended. And you and I do not. Rather, brothers and sisters, we should be offended that God has been dishonored, that God is not glorified, that God is not recognized, that God's law has been violated. Now, they may have violated God's law by robbing our homes. That's possible, yes. But the offense, the ultimate offense, is not against us, but it's against God. When somebody slaps you in the face, what have they done? They've offended you, yes, but they've also offended God. And sin is defiance against God, who is the ultimate authority, the ultimately, extensively, intensively holy God. And when His holiness is violated, it is this holiness which is ultimately offended. Amen. So the root of adultery is lust. What is lust but ungratefulness for the million gifts that God has bestowed upon all of us and the spitting upon His definition of goodness for us. See, that's what it is. When we are so filled with lust, it's an ungratefulness to God. It's a spitting upon His goodness. The ultimately good God, what we're saying is, God, you're not good. My definition of good is gooder than yours, and that's just wrong. That's terrible. That's terribly offensive to God. Pride, what is pride but the attempt to displace God's glory? It's the ultimate revolution against the ultimate authority, and that is God. And it must be ultimately crushed, of course. See, we are not the ultimate. God is, and God is the one who's ultimately offended. Thirdly, remember, again, you are not God. The sin which you sin, the sin which others sin against you, is a sin against God, first and foremost. And then thirdly, remember that you are a sinner too. You have offended God very much. And it's very difficult for us to contrast all of our sins, all of our lust issues, and all of the pride issues in our own lives, and those that others are sinning against us and others. It's so hard for us to really determine who is the more hell-deserving sinner between the two of us. Very, very difficult for us to understand. Now, of course, we're all hell-deserving sinners, so it's probably fruitless for us in the ultimate sense to compare ourselves with each other. It's just not worthwhile to do that because we're all sinners. So the perspective is, who is God in this conflict? Who is the one offended in this conflict? And who are we but sinners ourselves? And then finally, do remember that God forgives us $100 trillion. By the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. If the ultimately offended God can forgive, and he does forgive, brothers and sisters, we ought to forgive one another. Amen. So see, this is the God perspective here. The bitter person ignores God. He's turned himself into God. He doesn't realize it's God. God, who is the holy God, the just God, the one who's been offended, and the one who sacrificed his Son in order that we might be forgiven of this ultimate offense against the ultimate holy God. And you remember the parable of the unforgiving servants in Matthew 18, where he was forgiven the $40 billion and then had a hard time forgiving his brother. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now, how would you like to be delivered over to the jailers until you paid your debt to God? Brothers and sisters, let's come into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives us all of our transgressions, all of our iniquities. Come into his fellowship of the forgiven. Accept the forgiveness of God, and then forgive one another as well. Oh, we need to see these things from God's perspective. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the basic to the basic of all conflict resolution. This is the basic to all relationships. This is the basic to the whole Christian life. You're not at the center. God is. You're not the one offended. God was. You're not the one who ultimately forgives everybody else. God does. This is where it begins. So much of American Christianity is about me, me, and me. It's the man perspective. And oh, we ought to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed. We need to cry out for cleansing from the me perspective, the me idolatry that displaces God in our minds and disables us from being the forgiving and causes us to be so bitter. We need a God perspective. We need a right perspective of ourselves. And most importantly, we need a right perspective of what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. God is so holy, we are so filthy. God is so righteous, we are so hell-deserving. We are so contaminated by sin. We are so condemned, except for Jesus stepping in and saying, "Excuse me, let me pay that bill for you on the cross," which is what he did. I think about two murderers in a courtroom. One of them looks at the other with a frowny face, The other is terribly offended. You're acting like I'm some kind of a bad guy. Don't look at me this way. The guy's a murderer. He's offended with how somebody else in the courtroom, some other murderer, is looking at him. Brothers and sisters, we're all murderers here. And we're a little offended that somebody looks at us with a frowny face. That's ridiculous. The two murderers are both deserving of death in the courtroom, and yet so offended by each other when they give each other the frowny face. Wrong perspective, right? They've got the wrong perspective. They've got bigger problems. Their problem is that they have violated the law. And our problem is we have violated God's law. But by God's grace, we are forgiven. And if we have been forgiven, let us forgive others as well. All day long. All day long. All day long, every day. All day long, every day. This is what we are. Amen. The forgiven. This is what we do. We forgive. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, oh God, we come before you this morning realizing, Father, that yes, we are idolaters. Yes, we lift ourselves up too often. Yes, our focus is more upon ourselves and the offenses against ourselves. God, we confess this in brokenness this morning. And we have not acknowledged you as God. We have not seen you as holy. We haven't realized our own sinfulness as we ought to. But God, we confess to you that we are sinners. And we need the mercy of Christ. We ask for your forgiveness. And Father, we pray you would forgive us for not forgiving others as well. Give us a forgiving spirit, Father. Help us to better understand the mercy and grace of God in our lives, that we would have mercy and grace just flowing to others all the time, forgiving each other, reconciling each other. Father, we pray the church would be more and more recognized as those that forgive, those that are reconciling to each other all the time, that the process would continue, and this church would be known, Father, as the reconciling church, the forgiving church, the forgiven church, that, Father, the world would know that we love one another because you have loved us first. And then we take a moment to confess our own sins to God.